Boker Tov, and welcome back to our continued series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now in our final Shiur on the first parak of Masechet Yevamot, Daf Tet Vav Amud Bet, at the very top of the Amud. We have a relatively long stretch to cover today, and a good part of it will be off of the subject of Yibum. We're still in the middle of a discussion of whether or not Beit Shammai Asu or Lo Asu. In other words, did Beit Shammai practice their own differing position from Beit Hillel, or was it only theoretical? And so far, all of our support seems to indicate that Asu. Toshma, the Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, second line on the Tedvav on Bet. The Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, Kshayiti Lomei Torah Eitzer Rabbi Yochanan Achorani. Rabbi Yochanan Achorani was a student of Beit Shammai, and this is now around the time of the Churban. Ra'ita Shea Ochel Patchari Vabba Melach B'Shnei Batzorot. There were years of famine, and he was eating very simple food, bread and salt. Bati v'hodati et Abba. So I came and told my father of Tzadok. Amar li holech lo zeitim. So he said, bring him some of our olives. V'lachti lo, I brought him. Ra'otan shen lachin. So Rabbi Yochanan Achorani saw that the olives were wet. Now here's the problem, as we all know, is that if you have fruits or vegetables that have become wet, then they are mukhshar lekabel tumah, then they are viable for tumah. And he saw that these were wet, and as such, were viable for Tumah, and so he did not want to eat them. Amar li, ain ani ochel zeitim. So he made an excuse, said, I don't eat olives. Now, what is the particular issue here? We'll see in a moment. Bati vodati et abba. So I came back and told my father, Amar li, lech ve'mor lo. So he said, go back and tell him, chavit nekuva ita. Tell him that the barrel had holes in it. And the halacha is that any liquid that comes in contact with fruits, vegetables, that is not desired, that you're not interested in having being there, is not machshav lekabel tumah. And as a result, if it was in a barrel that had holes in it, clearly you wanted to drain the barrel. And therefore, if there's any liquid on there, it's not liquid that was desired, and therefore it's not machshav lekabel. Right? Elish estamu ashmarim. What happened? Why was it wet at all? If the barrel had holes in it, it should be dry. Because they plugged up the holes with dregs. So the barrel had holes in it, they plugged it up with dregs. The dregs kind of filled the holes up. Utnan chavit shel zeitim megulgalim. If you have a barrel of olives that are sitting in brine, Beit Shammai omrim ein tzricha lanakev. You don't have to make a hole in it. Beit Hillel omrim tzricha lanakev. Umodim sheim nikva ustamu ashmarim shitara. But even Beit Hillel agrees that if you made holes in it, Beit Hillel is machmir. But if they agree that if you made holes in it, and then the holes got plugged up with the dregs of the olive, that it's still tara because your interest clearly was to have the liquid be gone. The fact that it wasn't gone was not in your interest. The Alpha Pete, now the story goes on, and that's the end of the story. And so the idea is that even though he was a Talmid of Shammai, nonetheless, he followed Beit Hillel in practice, and therefore he was machmir here, and therefore Tzadok had to tell him, don't worry, the barrel really did have holes in it, and therefore you could eat the olives. Point being, here we have a remarkable statement about a student of Beit Shammai who practiced like Beit Hillel. So that really supports the position, counterintuitively, that Beit Shammai maintained their own position. Why? Because if you maintain Asu, Hadiravute, then that's the remarkable nature of the statement. Say, here is a Talmud of Shammai who, unlike everyone else, evidently, practiced like Beit Hillel. But if you say that they didn't practice differently, then what's the point? What's the chiddush of the statement? Everybody would practice like Beit Hillel. Which means the rest of the story makes sense, but the last line doesn't make sense. Good. Toshma, we have another piece, and this does go back to Yibum. Shalut of Yeshua, Sarata Bat Mahu. They asked Rabbi Yeshua, what's the story with Sarata Bat? In other words, our content, our context, our issue, Sarata Hayarva. Amar lehem machloket b'cham Beit Hillel. So they asked him, and he answered, it's a machloket. V'locha g'divrei mi, what's the psak? Amar lehem, ibnei ma'atem machasim roshi ben shnei harim gdolim. Why are you pushing me in between two big mountains? In other words, making me make a decision, render a decision in this huge machloket. Ben shnei machlokok gdolot ben shamay v'tilel. Mityare ani shamay yarutsu gugolti. I'm afraid that they're going to come and bust my head open. Now, who's the they? It's not ben shamay v'tilel. We're concerned about people who are affected by this ruling. However, let's see what we're talking about. So the case is as follows. Rabbi Yeshua was being asked about the Psak Halacha, and the very fact that instead of saying the Halacha is like Beit Hillel, and Rabbi Yeshua himself was a student of Beit Hillel, indicates that the Machloket was still a live Machloket. It wasn't a theoretical Machloket. And then from the fact that he says, I'm afraid people are going to come and hurt me if I render a decision, means that there were people, at least some people, who were affected by it because they have been ruled regarding it in the opposite manner. Let's see who it is. So the answer is, it's the Tzarot HaBat. In other words, it's Tzarot HaErva. In other words, you have people out there whose mothers got married, had the Yibum done, based on Beit Shammai's ruling, they were Tzarot HaErva. They had kids, and these kids would now come and be upset with Rabbi Yeshua if he paskin like Beit Hillel. Aval, he said, Ani me'id lachem. I'm not going to tell you what the halacha is, but I will give you the following testimony. Al shtei mishpachot gedolot shehayu b'Yerushalayim, the two very famous families, mishpachat Beit Zvu'i miben Achmai, and mishpachat Beit Kufa miben Mekoshesh. By these two families, shem b'nei Tzarot, they are the children of Tzarot, meaning Tzarot who married out without benefit of chalitza. U'mehem kohanim gedolim shem shogavim mizbeach. They had kohanim gedolim in their family. They worked on the, they did avon on the mizbeach. In other words, their yichus is pure, and they were dealt with in the following the ruling of Beit Hillel. Now, iamar pishlamasu. Now let's examine the story. If you say Beit Shammai did differently, then I understand why Rabbi Yeshua was afraid. But if they didn't practice differently, who's he afraid of? If he comes out and says Allah Beit Hillel, so everybody's been doing it like that anyways. And by the way, even if Beit Shammai still practiced that way, we're still not sure what he's afraid of. In the last couple of podcasts, we've dealt with this issue, and I keep pointing us to the Mishnah Mem Tet, and we'll get there. But we have to remember that there's a three-way machloket about the relationships, the stringency of the relationships needed to create a mamzer. According to the most broad opinion, the most machmer opinion, Rabbi Kiva says any illicit relationship, basically, will create mamzeru, chayve lavi. According to the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan there, the position is chayve kritut umitot beitin. Anything that leads to either a heavenly or beitin administered execution. And Rabbi Shua has the most lenient opinion, most the limited scope, is that only chayve mitot beitin create mamzer, which means, by the way, tzarat erva, the result will not be a mamzer, because what's the erva of tzarat, the erva of tzarat erva? Tzarat erva, if she's really not supposed to have relations, not supposed to have yibum, like Beit Hillel, and does, like Beit Shammai, so according to Beit Hillel, that relationship would be a chavi kritot, which according to Rabbi Shua would not be a mamzer. So why would the kids bust his head? Why would the children of such a relationship come and attack him and be unhappy with him? After all, he would not be rendering the mamzerim. The answer is, nehi nami de mamzer lo v'pagum mi'ahave. Right? So the answer is that even though they're not mamzerim, they're still stigmatized. What's the stigma? Mikav v'chomer mi'almana. Ma'almana shen yisurah nu'eg b'kol. After all, almana, marrying a kohen gadol, is an issue that only applies to one person in the world. A kohen gadol, nonetheless, b'nah pagum. What happens if an almana does marry a kohen gadol? The child is a halal. He's stigmatized and formally stigmatized. Zushi Surah Shava Bakol, etc. So we have the rest of the Kal V'chomer, which is that Sarat Erva is something that applies to everyone. It's not limited to one kind of man, it's something that applies to every man. Certainly, that child will be Pagum. So, in other words, if a man marries his brother's wife after the brother died with children, or the brother divorced, or whatever, in any case, if there's not Mokka Mitzvah, even though, according to Yeshua, the kid would not be a mamzer, nonetheless, the kid would be stigmatized, Kal V'chomer mi'almana. Good. So now, the question about this whole story is as follows. What did they ask Rabbi Yeshua? They asked Rabbi Yeshua about the Tzarot. What did Yeshua answer them? He answered them about the B'nai Tzarot, right? That these families, etc. Kabal min Tzarot, Kabashi le B'nai Tzarot. So the answer is Tarti Kabal min. They asked him two questions. Tzarot mai, what's the story with the Tzarot? In Tin Tzalom Tzarot Kiveit Hillel, B'nai Tzarot, Shel Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai Mahu. So the first question was, what's the halacha with the Tzarot? And if you want to tell me that the Tzarot, the halacha is Kibeit Hillel, meaning that's the psak, what happens when you have B'nai Tzarot of Beit Hillel? How do Beit Shammai regard them? So in other words, what do Beit Shammai say about B'nai Tzarot, meaning women who married out without benefit of chalitza? What do they say about their status? Now, the Minaf community, why do we care what they would say? The Mifshat Vlad Machzer Grushato, the Beit Hillel. Question is, can we, in other words, once we've already ruled like Beit Hillel, so what's the nafkamina about how Beit Shammai would view the B'nai Tzarot of Beit Hillel married out? The answer would be that it would then help us understand What's the halacha about b'nei machzer gushato? A man divorced his wife. She married somebody else. That other guy either died or divorced, or she went back to her husband, which is aser, and they had a kid. The question is, what is the status of that kid? B'nei chai b'lavin l'kohani. And here's how it goes. Mi kamrin, do we say, kal v'chomer, ma amon l'kohen gadol she'en yisurah shavah v'kol, b'na pagum zu she'yisurah shavah v'kol. Ein odin she'b'na pagum. So if an almana of the Kohen Gadol, the result of the kid is a halal, even though the Isra is very limited in scope, because it only applies to the Kohen Gadol. So Kal v'chomer that the tsarot of Beit Hillel, according to Beit Shammai's perspective, that they're chayvei lavin, certainly the kid would be pagum and should not marry kohanim. Or you could argue the opposite, that the Isra of almana, even though it's narrow in scope, it is very powerful in depth. Because not only is the child pagum, but the almana herself becomes a chalala. So, for instance, if a Kohen Gadol marries an almana, she becomes a chalala, and now she's not allowed to marry a Kohen Hedyot. Let's say the Kohen Gadol dies. She cannot marry a Kohen Hedyot because she's a chalala, which means that perhaps almana is a more powerful Isser. So then, the Amar Lahuz, and by the way, they asked Rabbi Yoshua about both, the Tzarot and B'nai Tzarot. As far as the tsarot goes, I'm afraid. B'nei tsarot ani me'id lachem. But as far as the b'nei tsarot, I will tell you that I could testify about these two big families. Good. But what becomes very clear from this entire sugya is asu. Toshma. B'mei Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinos. Dosa ben Horkinos is a Talmud of Beit Shammai. Who trat tsarat abat lachin. The psak halach actually went like Beit Shammai, which was they formally ruled that the Tzarat Erva does have Yibum. Shmamina Asu, Shmamina. So that's a slam dunk that Asu, and there's nothing more to discuss. All we have left to discuss is the story of Rav Dosa ben Horkinos, and all sorts of things that are going to follow from there. Good. And that's what will occupy our attention until for the rest of the Shia and for the rest of the parah. Gufa. May Rav Dosa ben Horkinos, Utru Tzarat Abad Lachin, Vayadavar Kashel Lachacham Minesh Chacham Gadolaya, Venav Kamal Levol Beit HaMidrash. So what happened is, this was very difficult for the Chachamim, because Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinos was a great Chacham, but he was blind and was not able to come to the Beit Midrash, so they could not engage him in discussion to try to get him to change his mind and use his influence to restore the Halacha back to the way that of Beit Hillel. Because they assumed that it was Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinos' ruling that caused the Beit Din to rule in that direction. Mar, Amru Miel Ech V'Yodio. So who's going to go and tell Rabbi Dosa, who's going to go and talk to him? Amar lo Rav Yeshua. So Rav Yeshua said, Ani elech. V'acharav mi, who else will go? We have to send a nice entourage. Lozman Azariah. V'acharav mi, Rabbi Akiva. So imagine this. Rav Yeshua, Rabbi Lozman Azariah, Rabbi Akiva go to visit Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinos. Achuv yamdu al patach beito. They went to his door. They were outside his door. Nechnasa shifchato. Amar lo Rabbi Chachmei Yisrael ba'in atzlacha. So his shifcha came to the door and said, the Chachmei Yisrael are coming to visit. Amar lo yikansu. So she said, let me come in. V'nechnasu. So they grabbed Rabbi Yeshua and they sat him on a very nice bed because they thought he was the Chachmei Yisrael who was coming. So he told Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinos, tell your other student to sit. He didn't know there was another student there. He said, who is he? Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Our buddy Azariah, our old Chaver Azariah, has a son? Karal of Mikra Zeh, so he regarding that as Pasuk said, he said the Pasuk, Mara'iti Gamzakanti, I was young, and now I'm old, Velora'iti Tzadik Narazav Azarav Lakish Lachem. In other words, Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinos said, I was a young man, now I'm an old man, in my entire life, according to the Pasuk from Tilim, Lamed Zayin, I've never seen a Tzadik who was in need. Because after all, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, as we know, was very wealthy. Then Tafsovo Shiva Mitash Zahav. So they set Rabbi Lozman Azariah down on a fancy chair. Amarlo Rebbe, Amarlo Talmid Cha Cher Yishev. So Rabbi Yeshua said, we have another Talmid here. Tell him to sit. Amarlo Emihu Akiva Ben Yosef. That's who it is. Amarlo Atahu Akiva Ben Yosef. You are the famous Akiva Ben Yosef. Shimcha Olech Misof Olam V'Yad Sofo. Your fame is, your name is renowned throughout the world. Shev Beni Shev. Kimotcha Yibu Yisrael. Sit, my son. There should be more like you be Yisrael. Beautiful bracha. So now, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Lozman Azari were sitting around Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinos, and he could not see. They started asking questions about all sorts of halachot, right? And they brought the conversation around to the issue of Tzarat HaBat. Amrulei, Tzarat HaBat Mau. What's the halach? Malan achloka b'cham bit hilal. It's machloka. Halacha k'tiv remi. Amalan halacha bit hilal. So Rabbi Yosef ben Harkonnen surprisingly said the halacha is like bit hilal. Amulav alom shimchan mu halacha bit shamai. So they said, wait, people are reporting in your name, Alach HaKavet Shammai, and the Beit Din is ruling based on that. People are issuing rulings based on that. Amar lehem, Dosa Shamatim or Ben Horkonus Shamatim? What did you hear? Did you hear that in my name or in Ben Horkonus' name? Meaning, I'm Ben Horkonus, but I have brothers. Amru lehi, Chaye Rebbi Stam Shamanu. They said, we heard it Stam, meaning Ben Horkonus. Malam Ach Katan Yeshli Bechor Satanu. He said, you know what? I have a younger brother who is a Bechor Satan. Right? He's a very sharp young man. V'yonatan shmo. V'umi talmidei shamai. He's a shamayite. V'zaru shalai. By the way, Rabbi Dosa ben Harkonnen was also a shamayite. So v'zaru shalai kapech etchem b'halachot. Make sure he doesn't start challenging you b'halachot. V'shiyeshi moshtosh miot shuot b'tzarat habat. He has 300, this is a hyperbole, but he has many, many ways to answer tzarat habat by kal b'chomer, etc., to prove tzarat habat's mutter. So don't start with him. He's warning them. My brother is very, very sharp. We'll see how sharp he is. He said, "Avam me'in ani alai shamayim va'aretz." But I will testify. Sha'al meducha zu yashav Chagai anavi. This is a phrase that shows up several times in Chazal. Chagai sat on this mill right here. V'amar. This is a way of saying we have an ancient tradition. Shlosha dvarim. There's three things. By the way, the reason that Chagai could not have said this, we'll see in a minute. He said three things. One of them is tzarat habat asura, right? And that in meaning asura le yibum, like Beit Hillel. Amor mu'am ma'asrin ma'aser ani b'shvid. We'll get back to this in a minute. And umakablim gerim mina karudunyin umina tarmudim. We accept gerim from these particular nations. That will be our main focus. So let's go back to these topics in, as we explain them and explain what the reasoning is and what the issues are in each case. Tzarat habat we've already dealt with and we're not going to go back. Now, what happened? Tanak, shenichasun nichasu petach achad. We have an addition to this story that says that when the Chachamim came in to visit, they came in through one door. Sheyatsu yatsu b'shlosha petachim. They went out each through a separate door. Rabbi Dosa ben Harkonnen, as we could see, had a very fancy house, fancy beds. Pagam bo b'Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva went out through a door and bumped into this brother, Yonatan. Akshilei va'ukme. He made him stand there. Amarlo atau Akiva shimcha olech misofa olam v'yad sofo. You could see that he was very sharp. But not very kind. He said, "You're the famous Akiva. Ashrecha shachita l'shem. You should be very happy that you've got such a reputation. But daimly gata l'roy bakar. But you're not even as good as a cowboy." Amarlo Rabbi Akiva afilu roi tzon. Rabbi Akiva, in his typical humility, said, "I'm not even as good as a shepherd. Not just a cowboy. I'm not even as smart as a shepherd." Anyways, that's what he said. Now let's go back and look at the statement. Tzarat habat, we understand. By the way, that last story is there to show you what kind of guy, what kind of man Yonatan was. He was very, very sharp, but as you could see, he was very harif, very, very cutting. Amonamuah masrin maser ani b'shvit. This we had also in Megillah and Chagiga. Da'amar mar habei kwachim kavshu olei mitzorim velo kavshu olei bavel. This is the story. During Bayit Sheni times, there was tremendous poverty. And this undoubtedly dates to times after Chagai, but there was tremendous poverty, and the concern was that during Shemitah, the Anim would have nothing because there are no Masrot during Shvit because everything's open to everybody. And therefore, what they did is they made a ruling that those areas that in earlier times had been Chayiv and Shemitah, but today were not because they were no longer considered Eretz Yisrael, at least for Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, should continue to practice Shemitah in that year and give Maaser, and the Maaser they would give me Maaser on. So what happened? There were the formality of the ruling was that there were lots of cities that were captured by Olei Mitzrayim, v'lo kavshum olei bavel, but were not settled in the second return. Kedusha rishon akitcha l'shaita v'lo kitcha l'atid avol. This is a sugi we dealt with in Megillah and Chagiga. Kedusha, we'll chiefly deal with it in Arachin in a while. Kedusha rishon, meaning the first kedusha made by when Yeshua conquered, was not permanent. It was dependent on conquest and sovereignty, and therefore once we were captured, the kedusha left. And then what happened is when they came back, they left the certain towns untouched, so that the Anim would know that they would be able to use them on Shemitah. There wouldn't be any Shemitah there. So in the same way, they said on the east bank, you practice Shemitah, and you give Maaser Ani. Good. That was the third statement. We accept Gerim from this area. Why? What would be the concern? The concern would be these are areas in Mesopotamia. The concern would be that these people may be members of the lost tribes of Israel, which means that they may be really Israelim, and they may and they likely will have intermarried in such a way that to create mamzerut. And thus we would be, by accepting gerim, they're not really gerim, they're Jews who are now coming in, who are introducing mamzerut. Let's see what the issue is. But first, let's identify. Eini v'tamar v'chezkel, ein mekamim gerim mina karduyim. Remember, Chezkel said, we don't accept gerim from the karduyim. So in other words, Haggai's testimony, as it were, is that these nations are certainly not anybody having to do with the Aseret HaShvatim. They're 100% goyim, and we can accept them as gerim. I, Rami Chezkel, said we can't. Rashi kartuyim itma. It's not karduyim, but kartuyim. Gamenshi kartuyim psulim. Everybody knows the famous saying, kartuyim or psulim. Yikad amit, Rami Chezkel, ein mekalim gerim in a kartuyim. And the other version of this, the Rami Chezkel was not brought as a challenge, but as an additional statement, that even though we accept gerim from the karduyim, we don't accept from the kartuyim. My love, I know kartuyim, I know kartuyim, aren't they the same? Amar Rashi lo, kartuyim luchud, kartuyim luchud, they're separate. People say kartuyim are psulim. Okay, same thing. Now, Yochanan, the Savaya, Dami Tameyu, in a common gerim in Tamudim. The Tamudim, who are a nation that was operating in Bavel at the time, that existed in Bavel at the time, they mentioned the sugi of Hanukkah, that they were the woodchoppers. So Rabbi Yochanan and the elders said, in a common gerim mina Tamudim. We do not accept gerim from the Tamudim. Right. Any tamim, meaning any possibility signs of tumah, something we'll deal with much, much more in Nida, but any tamim that come from that area are tahor, because everybody who lives there are going. Yehuda says the people who live there are gerim, who got re-intermixed into among the goyim, but they're really Jews. Alright, now, the Mishnah says tahorim. That's the Tanakama. Vavinanba, what do we say about that? Kapasik Vatana Ben of the Kochavim, he said, Stam, anything that comes from the Goyim is pure, which means because there's no tumor there. Because that means Vafilu mean Talmud, which means there is no single Goyish nation where we're ever concerned, people there are really Jews, even Talmud. V'am Rabbi Yochanan Zotamer Mekabim Gerim in Talmud. And Rabbi Yochanan then said, that proves to you we can accept Gerim from Talmud because we know that they're glatt Goyim. You want to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan is just saying that would lead to the conclusion that you can accept gerim, but I don't accept it? Said, Vaham Rabbi Yochanan, halacha kastam mishnah. Famous ruling of Rabbi Yochanan, halacha follows the stam mishnah. And the stam mishnah is that any ketamim that come from there are tahor. Right? So which means Rabbi Yochanan has to accept it. The answer is, Amorai ninu v'alibit Rabbi Yochanan. That's a machloket amorayim, whether Rabbi Yochanan made the comment zotomeret, and the conclusion that we accept gerim from there, or what Rabbi Yochanan said, we don't accept gerim from there. Good. Now, mi tarmud, my time alo, what's the reason that we would not accept gerim from tarmud? Pligi Rabbi Yochanan v'savayas. Rabbi Yochanan and the elders, who both said we do not accept gerim from there, disagreed as to why. And if they had a tradition not to, they disagreed as to why. Charam mishum avdei shlomo, charam mishum b'not Yerushalayim. We'll see what this is. Bishlomo adam mishum avdei shlomo, what does that mean? That the Talmudim are the descendants of Avdei Shlomo, who had relations with Jewish women in when they came to come and do work on the Beit HaMikdash, etc. Kesavra, Ovid Kocham Me'ever HaBali, Bad Yisrael Vlad Mamzer. They hold the position, we'll deal with this in Kiddushin. Also later on in Armasachta, which is that if an Eved Kanani, has relations with a Jewish girl, the child is a Mamzer. Therefore, these kids are all filled with Mamzerut, and we don't want to bring them back in. What's Benot Yerushalayim? What is that? Pligi Rav Yosef Rabbanan. There's machloket, but a small machloket. The story is one of consensus. They disagreed about what Rabbi Bar Chana taught about the numbers of people involved. Charam Ar, Atreser Alfei Gavri. There were 12,000 men. Mishita Alfei Kishtui, and another 6,000 archers. So 12,000 infantry and 6,000 archers. Or 12,000 men, of whom 6,000 were archers, of the Bavlim. When the Bavlim came into the Beit HaMikdash in 586, they all went to loot the gold and silver. This group of 18,000, or 12,000, they went to rape the Jewish women. Shinamari, quote the Pasuk, Nashim, it's the second Pasuk on the page, Nashim etzion einu, betulot barei Yehuda. And Echad says they raped the girls in Sion, right? Which means that and they're claiming that the Talmudim are the results of that relationship. And of course, these are goyim, Abal Bat Yisrael, the child is a mamzer, according to that position. And that's a machlok. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Miyonatan, Pasuk Zeh, Sar HaOlam Amaro. We now have the following drasha, which is going to take us back to a description of the Churban. The following pasuk, which we already saw in another context, was said by a malach, Sar HaOlam. What's the pasuk? V'arayiti gam zakanti, v'arayiti tzadik ne'ezav. I was young, I'm now old, and I've never seen the tzadik ne'ezav. Even though Rav Dosan and Horkin has said it about himself, he says, Man amarei, who could have said it? Ilan ha'kutcha brichu, mika zikna kameh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't say I was young and then I'm old. That's way too anthropomorphic. Ela David amarei, you see, think David said it? Mi koshish kulehai, David never was that old. He died at the age of 70. You can't say gam zakanti. Evidently, according to this tradition, there's only three possibilities. A pasuk can tell them it was easier to said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by David, or by some malach. It couldn't have been some man who was very, very old. Why is this here? This is a pasuk in Eicha. That's why we're here, because it's a whole flow of Agadah. He said the enemy's hand is spread out over all of the beauties, all of the treasures of Yerushalayim. What's that? Ze Amon u'Moav, right? B'sha'ah she'nichasu avdei kochavim la'heichal, when the goyim came into the heichal, hakol nifnu ha'kesef ha'zav, as we had earlier, they all went for the gold and silver. We had the 18 or 12,000 men who went after the girls. Amon u'Moav, after instead, me'hem nifnu ha'sefer Torah, they went for the sefer Torah. Amru zesh katugol avon u'niu u'Moaviv u'kal Adonai yisaref ba'esh. This Torah that says in it that we're not allowed to marry the Jews, we're going to burn that Torah. And that's why it says the enemy has spread its hand over all of the precious things. To remember, just one aside, is that in the description in various books of Tanakh, both in Eicha and in Tehillim, we have other local nations coming in and opportunistically joining in with the destruction. For instance, the mention of Bat Edom, both in Eicha Dalet and Tilim Kuf Lamed Zayin, cheering on the Bavlim and their destruction. So here, Amon and Moav join in also. They say, we finally got a chance to burn that Torah that said we can't marry their girls. Now, further on in Eicha, it says, Tzivadun Adi Yaakov, Tzivivav Tzarav. Hashem has commanded that the enemies should, the ones surrounding it should be, that the enemies should surround Am Yisrael. This is clearly said about Yerushalayim, saying Hashem has allowed and commanded the enemy to surround us, and this refers to the siege. But now we're going to darshan it on a later event. Amrav Kigon, Humanya Lefum Nahara. Humanya, which is a town of Goyim, lives near right near Pum Nahara, right on the river, where it's a Jewish town, and they keep harassing us. So that must be that Hashem has commanded them to harass us. Yehuda Amrav Asi, Ovei Kochavim Shekidesh Bizman Hazeh Choshin Lekidushin. This now goes back to the issue of who we accept Gerim from. He says that if a Goy gives Kiddushin to a girl, we have to be concerned and make him give a get. Why? Because he may be somebody from the 10 tribes. Call the parish, Maruba parish. We say a general rule that anybody who comes from an unspecified group, we assume that they're from the majority. The answer is, beduchta dekvi. Right? The answer is that if they are in one of their towns that they were exiled to, then they're not parish anymore. They haven't moved away. As we'll see in the sugya at the end of the first parak of Ketubot, the issue of kavua. Is the issue of Parish is only, of Ruba is only when it's moved away from its original location, then we associate it with the majority. But if it's in its original place, then we treat it as Kavu and it's Mechza Mechza. How do we know where the original place for the Ten Shvatim were? The Amar Rabbi Abba Barkana Vayanchem B'Chalach V'Chavor Nahar Gozan V'Arim Adai. The text in Malachim Bet says that Sancheriv exiled the northern people. And it lists all these cities. And now we can identify where they were. Chalach, Zechalazon, Chavor, Zuchadyav, Nahar Gozan, Zuchinzak, Varim Adai, Zuchamdan, V'chaviroteha, Vamrila, Zunehar, V'chaviroteha, it's Chamdan in its suburbs, and Nahar in its suburbs, V'chaviroteha, Man, what are those in suburbs? Amr Shmuel, Krach Moshri, Chidki, V'dumkia. So Shmuel identifies where they are. Which means there's cities right there in the area of where the Jewish settlement is in Bavel, where we've identified the cities identified in Tanakh as the location where the northern tribes were exiled to, which means if somebody comes from there, Rashi says we have to be concerned that these are descendants of the Aseret HaShvatim and these may be Jews. If a person gives Kiddushin, we have to give a get. Now, Amar Yochanan v'chulam lipsul. All of these mentions, all of these towns are mentioned, lipsul, meaning to point out that everybody from there is pasul. Ki amrita kamer Shmuel, so when he said this in front of Shmuel, Amar le bincha, ba min ha-Yisraelit karu bincha, bincha ba min ha-Ovet kochavim karu bincha. So he said, it's not true. It's not true that these people might be from the Aseret HaShvatim, because it's only if you have your daughter marries a goy, then the daughter has a son, that's called your son, but not if your son marries a goya, then that child is not called in his matrilineal descent. Right? Femisugin Kedushin. Ela Banot. Ay, Vaika Banot. Yeah, very good. But what about the girls of the Aseret HaShvatim? If they had relations with the local men, then their children would still be Jews. And we do have Ravina's observation, based on the psukim in Parshat Vetchanan, that if you have your daughter marries a goy, then her son is called your grandson. In other words, he's still Jewish. The answer is Gemiri. We have a tradition that Banta the Hidari Yitzdaru Yitzdaru. All the girls of that generation miraculously became infertile and were unable to have kids, which means the only remaining people from the Aseret HaShvatim, according to this tradition, were the result of the men of the Aseret HaShvatim having relations with the non-Jewish local women, which means none of them are Jews anyways. They're all gone. That, of course, has profound implications for eschatology and about the possibility of a restoration of the tribes to their ancestral lands, because you could no longer have a Shevet Gad or a Shevet Dan or a Shevet Reuven, because none of them exist anymore. All right? That's one perspective. There's another version. When he said it in front of Shmuel, and he said that these people, that Rav Asi said, we have to be concerned about the Kiddushin, because they might be Aseret HaShvatim. Shmuel says, no, at an earlier time, they immediately paskin that everybody there is Goyim. In other words, these people from Aseret HaShvatim are Goyim. Why? They have rebelled against God because they gave birth to foreign children. In other words, the minute that these guys went into Galut and intermarried, Beit Din Paskin, these guys are no longer Jewish, and that's the Psak. And therefore, there's nothing to be concerned about. If a local guy here in Bavel, a goy, goes up to a Jewish girl, gives her money, says, "I'm good," it's nothing. You don't have to worry about it. She's not married. She's not a grusha. Nothing. Good. All right. Yati Rav Yosef, Acharei Rav Kana, Yati Rav Kana, Kamed Rav Yehuda. So the Rav Yehuda was teaching. Rav Kana was sitting in front of him. Back of him was Rav Yosef. They really didn't like the people from Talmud. And they said, when Talmud will be destroyed, we're going to make a yom. It was destroyed once. No, it wasn't Talmud that was destroyed. It was another town called Talmud. Rav Ashi says it's the same town. The truth is that there's two sides. If one side was destroyed, they'd settle the other side, etc. We're waiting for the day when the whole place is going to be destroyed, they'll make a yom. Yati Rav Hamnuna Kame to Ula. Now Rav Hamnuna was sitting in front of Ula, but Kahave Mishmaita. And he was challenging. Amar Ma Gavra Uma Gavra. And so they're saying, what's this guy asking? He loved Arpanya Maate Irsi. He loved Arpanya Maate. Right? Who is this guy? He comes from Arpanya, they said to Rav Hamnuna. So Ichsif, Rav Hanuna, got upset. So he was embarrassed because Arpanya was like a lowlife town. And they said, Rav Hanuna, what are you asking questions for? You're from Arpanya, you're a lowlife. Amarle, so he wanted to make, Ula wanted to make him feel better. He said, where do you give your taxes to? Amarle, the Pum Nahara. Amarle, Mkeni, Pum Nahara. You pay to Pum Nahara, then you're from Pum Nahara. Don't feel bad, you're from a good town. My Arpanya, so why is Arpanya called Arpanya? In other words, this town that Rav Hamnuna was lived in or was from was considered to be a real low-life town. Why is it called Harpanya? It's the mountain that everybody turns to. Harpanya, Harponim. It's the mountain that everyone turns to. Meaning anybody who's pasul, anybody who doesn't have any yichas, anybody who has problematic yichas, they all go there to find wives. Manita tana kosha in makir mishpachto v'shiftoni fnelosha. Anybody who doesn't know what family they're from, what shevet they're from, it's a mixed blood, whatever it is, they go there. Clearly, it's a place where the people are not careful about the yichas and who they marry, who they relations with. Amarava v'hi amukam yishol. It's deeper than hell. Shenemar miyad shol efteim mimavet egalem. I redeem them from shol, and the idea is that I bring them up to here. V'ilu psul didhu leit lahu takanta. In other words, I will redeem them from shol, but I can't. But there is no redemption from this psul. If you're from Arpanya, you're lost forever. There's no way that your children will be able to marry in. Right? Now, psule de Arpanya, mishum psule de Mishon. Why are the people in Arpanya psul? Because of Mishon. So the Mishon, mishum psule de Tarmud, psule de Tarmud, mishum avdei Shlomo. Because you have a chain. Avdei Shlomo had kids with Jewish women. They were mamzerim. They moved to Tarmud. The Tarmudim then had kids, and they moved to Mishon. The Mishon then moved to Arpanya, and the other psul, you could follow the chain of psul. And I'm interested, Kava Rabba v'Kava Zuta, Mingadar v'Azil. Mingadar v'Azil, l'Sha'ul, Sha'ul l'Tarmud, v'Tarmud l'Meshon, l'Meshon l'Arpanya. People say, Kava Rabba v'Kava Zuta, big basket, a small basket. If it's a corrupt weight, it's a corrupt weight, big or small. So either way, that's in how all these things lead. Right, then it goes from Sha'ul, the Talmud, the Meshon, Meshon, the Harpanya. So that's where this chain of psul went. So we have Baruch Hashem finished the first parak. Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, which will be published today, we will begin the second parak on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful day.